All right, so get this. Ready for this? We're diving deep into cybersecurity today, a story that should make everyone a little uneasy. Even if, Firefox isn't your go-to browser, imagine a hacking campaign so stealthy it hit the headlines before most people even knew what hit them.
Yeah, it's really grabbed my attention here. It's how this whole situation shines a light on how, well, vulnerable our everyday tech can be and the potential fallout from that. I mean, it's a big deal for all of
No
us.
kidding. We're digging into an article called "Russia-linked hackers exploited Firefox and Windows bugs in a widespread hacking campaign." It uncovers how a group, they're called ROMCOM, and suspected of having ties to the Russian government, they managed to exploit, get this, zero-day vulnerabilities in both Firefox and Windows.
Now that term, that zero day, that's not just some tech jargon. Think of it like this, right? Imagine someone finding a secret back door into a building, one that's supposed to be, locked down tight. That's what a zero day vulnerability is. It's a flaw in the software, one that even the people who made it, they don't even know about yet. There's no patch, no fix, just a wide open door for someone with, well, bad intentions to just walk right in.
Okay, I'm getting chills just thinking about that. So, ROMCOM used these zero-day vulnerabilities to basically slip malware onto people's computers, but it gets even crazier. They did it using something called zero-click exploits.
Meaning you wouldn't even know you were in danger. You wouldn't have to click a suspicious link or open some dodgy attachment. Just visiting a website that ROMCOM had compromised, that's it. That was enough to trigger the whole attack. The level of sophistication here, honestly, it's a real wake-up call.
So let's break this down the specifics. The article focuses on two vulnerabilities in particular, one in Firefox and one in Windows. What exactly were these bugs, and how did ROMCOM exploit them?
Well, a Firefox bug, that one was particularly nasty. It essentially let ROMCOM sidestep all of the browser's security measures, the things that are supposed to, keep you safe, and execute malicious code directly on a user's computer. And the Windows flaw, well, it was similar. It gave the hackers a way to gain access to the entire system, unauthorized, of course.
And to really grasp how serious this is, let's look at the timeline. ESET researchers, they first uncovered these vulnerabilities back on October 8th of this year. Mozilla, I'll give them credit, they acted fast, patched the Firefox vulnerability within 24 hours. But Microsoft, well, they took a full month to address the Windows bug.
Yeah, that difference in response time probably comes down to how complex the Windows vulnerability was. But it really underlines how critical, how important prompt patching is.
For sure. The article, it really emphasizes the importance of those patches. It's like locking your doors to prevent a break-in. Seems obvious, but sometimes we need that reminder, right?
Absolutely. Now, here's an interesting detail. So, there's no evidence that the Tor browser, which shares some code with Firefox, it was directly targeted in this campaign. But the Tor project, they still went ahead and patched the vulnerability just in case. That kind of proactive approach, it's commendable, and it shows a really strong security mindset.
So who was ROMCOM targeting with this campaign? Who was in their crosshairs?
Well, according to the article, they primarily went after organizations and individuals, those who opposed Russian interests or supported Ukraine.
That's interesting. And a bit unsettling. Does that line up with what we know about ROMCOM and their typical targets?
When we look at the bigger picture, this targeting strategy is very consistent with their past activities. They've often set their sights on those who, well, are adversaries of Russia, which suggests that, there's a clear geopolitical motives behind these cyber attacks.
And what about the impact? How far-reaching was this campaign? How many victims were there?
Well, the article states that the campaign, it mainly impacted victims in Europe and North America. The number of victims, it varied between countries. Some countries only had one reported victim, while others had as many as 250.
Wow, 250 victims in a single country. That really highlights the scale of this operation. And it raises some serious questions, doesn't it? Like, how can we do a better job of protecting ourselves from these increasingly sophisticated cyber threats, especially when they're state-sponsored with vast resources and, let's be honest, a lot of impunity?
You've hit the nail on the head. That's a question we need to really grapple with. The digital world's a complex place, and the threats are evolving faster than ever. So let's dive into what we can do to stay ahead of the curve. But first, I think you have some practical tips for us, based on the article, right?
Absolutely. We'll get into those right after this.
All right, so we've established these threats are real, sophisticated, and kind of terrifying. But knowing about them is only half the battle, right? What can we actually do to protect ourselves? I know the article had some suggestions.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one thing to be aware of the danger, but taking action to actually safeguard ourselves, that's crucial. The article, it provides some practical guidance on that front.
Okay, so let's hear it. What's step one in our defense strategy?
Well, it all comes down to understanding the enemy, right? And in this case, zero-day vulnerabilities, they're tricky because they exploit weaknesses that nobody even knows about yet. It's like trying to defend against, well, a ghost, something you can't even see coming.
Okay, so how do we fight a ghost? Where do we even begin? The article, it emphasizes the importance of keeping your software updated. And they're not just talking about your operating system. We're talking about all your software, browsers, plugins, applications, the whole nine yards. Think of it like this. Every time you update, you're basically closing a potential backdoor, one that hackers could use to get in there.
Okay, yeah, I get it. So software updates are like our digital security guards, but it's easy to forget about them or put them off, you know. Any tips for staying on top of updates?
Well, they really hammer home the point that we should enable automatic updates whenever possible. That way, you don't even have to think about it. Your devices are constantly protected in the background.
Makes sense to me. Out of sight, out of mind, but still protected. So what else can we do beyond software updates?
Well, the article also suggests using what they call advanced threat detection tools. Think antivirus software, anti-malware programs, things like that. They act as an extra layer of protection. They scan your system for, you know, anything suspicious. And they alert you before any real damage is done.
And those aren't just for, like, the tech wizards, right?
No, absolutely not. In this digital landscape, everyone needs some kind of protection on their devices. Luckily, there are plenty of reliable and user-friendly options out there. A little investment in these tools, it can go a long way in preventing a major headache later on.
Okay, so software updates, threat detection tools, check and check. What else should we have on our radar?
This one might seem obvious, but the article really stresses the importance of avoiding suspicious websites. You know, it's remarkable how many people still fall victim to scams and online trickery.
Right, like those phishing emails that try to trick you into giving away your passwords or personal information.
Exactly. And the article provides some real-world examples of red flags to watch out for, like websites with misspellings or grammatical errors or sites that ask for personal information that just seems unnecessary. Don't click on links in emails or messages unless you're absolutely sure they're legitimate.
Yeah, it's all about being cautious and using common sense, right? If something feels off, it probably is.
You got it. Trust your instincts. Don't be afraid to, you know, err on the side of caution. Now, this next point, this one's particularly relevant for, you know, businesses out there. The article emphasizes the importance of employee education, specifically training staff to recognize phishing attempts and other social engineering tricks.
So it's not just about having the right tech in place. It's about making sure people know how to use it safely and how to spot potential threats.
Precisely. Cybersecurity. It isn't just about technology. It's also about human behavior.
Yeah.
You see, hackers often exploit our natural tendencies to, you know, trust or to be helpful. So training employees to be vigilant, to recognize those red flags, that could be a company's first line of defense against these attacks.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here in terms of practical steps that individuals and businesses can take. But let's zoom out a bit. We keep talking about RomCom and this specific campaign, but this is just one piece of a much larger puzzle.
You're absolutely right. This is a perfect example of a concerning trend. State-sponsored cyber attacks are becoming more common, and the potential consequences are huge.
It's almost like a new kind of arms race. But instead of missiles and tanks, it's all about, you know, malware and exploits.
That's a great analogy. And the thing is, the barrier to entry for cyber warfare, it's significantly lower than for traditional warfare.
Hmm.
You don't need a massive military or a sophisticated weapons program. All you need is a talented team of hackers and access to the internet.
So where does this leave us? What can we do to stay ahead of these evolving cyber threats when the landscape is constantly shifting?
I think the first and perhaps most important step is awareness. We have to understand the risks, take them seriously, and stop assuming that, you know, someone else is going to handle it. We all have a role to play in cybersecurity, from individuals to businesses to governments.
And that means being proactive, right? Not waiting until something bad happens before taking action.
Exactly. Think of it like physical health.
Yeah.
You don't wait until you get sick to start, you know, eating healthy and exercising. You do those things to prevent illness in the first place. Cybersecurity is the same way. We need to be proactive in protecting ourselves.
So what does being proactive actually look like Besides, you know, the things we've already discussed, like software updates and threat detection tools, are there other practical steps we can take?
Absolutely. For individuals, it could be as simple as being more mindful of the information you share online, using strong and unique passwords.
Yeah.
And developing a healthy skepticism towards, you know, suspicious emails or messages.
So practicing good digital hygiene, essentially.
Precisely. And for businesses, being proactive might involve investing in comprehensive cybersecurity training for their employees, implementing multi-factor authentication for all accounts, and having a robust incident response plan in place, just in case, you know, something does happen.
And what about on a larger societal level? What can we do collectively to address these threats?
That's where things get even more complex, but also more crucial.
Right.
We need open and honest conversations about these issues, greater accountability from tech companies and governments, and collaborative efforts to develop international norms and regulations for cyberspace.
So it sounds like cybersecurity is no longer just an IT issue. It's a national security issue, an economic issue, a societal issue. It affects us all.
You hit the nail on the head. Cybersecurity is a shared responsibility. We all need to do our part to create a safer and more secure digital world.
This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening. I know I'll be thinking about these issues long after we finish recording.
Me too. And I hope our listener out there will as well. The threat is real, but it's not insurmountable. By staying informed, proactive, and working together, we can mitigate the risks and create a more resilient digital future.
So, to our listener, stay vigilant, stay informed, and stay safe. And as always, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep into the world around you. You know, it's become pretty clear as we've been talking, this rom-com campaign, it wasn't just some isolated incident, right?
Yeah, it really does feel like a symptom of a much bigger problem. This whole world of state-sponsored cyber attacks, it seems to be getting more sophisticated by the day.
Yeah, and you know what really struck me? It was how rom-com specifically targeted those opposing Russian interests.
Right.
Or those supporting Ukraine.
Right. It really highlights how cyber attacks, they can be used as, well, as a tool to influence geopolitical events, to silence those dissenting voices.
That's a chilling thought. So it's not just about, like, stealing data anymore or disrupting services. These attacks, they can have real-world consequences, right?
Absolutely. Shaping political discourse.
Yeah.
And even potentially influencing the course of conflicts.
Exactly. And when you consider that these state-sponsored groups, they often have access to vast resources, and they operate with a level of impunity. I mean, that individual hackers can only dream of. The potential for damage is, it's enormous.
It really is.
So where do we go from here? I mean, we've talked about individual responsibility, things like software updates and threat detection tools. We've talked about businesses and how they need to step up their security practices. But is that enough? I mean, what else needs to happen to really tackle this problem, like at its root?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't
it? Yeah.
There are no easy answers. But I think a good starting point is recognizing that cybersecurity, it's no longer just a technical issue.
Right. It's a societal issue, a political issue, a global issue even.
That's right.
We can't just leave it to, you know, the tech experts to figure it out. I mean, we all have a stake in this. Mm.
Absolutely. And that means we need to start having some difficult conversations. We need to demand greater transparency and accountability from governments and from tech companies. We need to develop international norms and regulations for cyberspace, much, much like we have for other domains of warfare.
But isn't that incredibly challenging? I mean, cyberspace is so vast, so fluid, and so interconnected. How do you even begin to regulate something like that?
It's undoubtedly a complex undertaking, no question about it. But I think the first step is acknowledging that the status quo, it's unsustainable. We can't just keep playing whack-a-mole with these attacks, mm-hmm. you know, reacting after the fact. We need a proactive approach, a coordinated approach, and a global approach to cybersecurity.
And that requires collaboration, right? Not just between governments, but between businesses, researchers, individuals.
Absolutely. This isn't something that any one entity can solve on its own. We need to pool our knowledge, our resources, our expertise if we're going to have any hope of staying ahead of these evolving threats.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about today. It's been fascinating, albeit a bit unsettling, to delve into this world of cyber warfare and to explore the implications of these attacks.
I agree. It's not always the most uplifting topic, but it's a vitally important one. And I think the key takeaway here is that awareness is power. The more informed we are about the threats, the better equipped we'll be to protect ourselves, to protect our businesses, and to protect our communities.
So to our listener out there, stay vigilant, stay curious, and stay informed. We'll keep diving deep into these complex issues, bringing you the insights and information you need to navigate this ever-changing digital landscape